B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High slot Jones, wrister coming in, deflected, and it sails into the netting.
Did anybody spot it?
Yes. Out in front, fired, they score, they've got
hit
a check.
They got a check. That should have been a whistle. The initial shot came in and hit the netting in the back. Bruins are right off the bench right now, going to complain. There should have been a whistle.
So they'll take a look. This puck left the surface, came back into play.
Those are not even a conference. They're saying they didn't see it. This is unreal.
It doesn't matter. Toronto should be able to indicate that. There's a mechanism in place for this very thing.
No, there's not, Judd.
Yeah, because, I mean, I felt the same thing. We all did. You saw the angle of the puck going in. They're like, oh, I'll bring this back. You're good. There has to be. We replay everything. We replay every inch of everyone's butt hair in every sport on every play. Everything gets to come back now. They're reviewing now judgment calls in football. And this is where the whole thing's going, and you can't review that.
Basketball grazing a fingernail.
You could swipe the ball out of someone's hand, have it graze the last atom on the outside of his last fingernail, and we'll look at that thing for 10 minutes and bring it back. But you can't look at that?
No, the puck that goes out of play and back in, that's alive.
Yeah. Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Back to your phones on everything. Brendan in Andover, you're up next. Jimmy, can pop him up for me. I'm frozen. Line 7. Brendan in Andover. Go ahead, please. Brendan! Okay, babe. He's been holding and he's probably just stopped paying attention. Brian in Taunton on the Bees. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm thrilled that they won that game, but that was the most frustrating, unsatisfying 4-1 win I've ever witnessed in my life. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but I'm watching the game, and I said to myself, did the team manager not sharpen their skates? Because it looked like they were falling down all over the place, everyone. It was weird. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not.
I don't think it was all of them. I think Pastrnak is self-evident. He's stumbling around like a drunk out there. I think Marchand had a little bit of it last night. He didn't look right.
Well, there was that one sequence, if you remember, in the Columbus zone where McAvoy got popped and the Columbus drew a penalty. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So a couple of Bruins were falling down, and McAvoy was the second one to go down in that sequence.
I think that was a little bit of a dive.
Okay, so but during that sequence, I did find myself saying at the TV, could you stand up?
Well, they were
somebody
also,
stand up!
They were also getting cross-checked and whatnot and maybe trying to, you know, embellish a penalty. But frustrating and unsatisfying, I'm not that strong. But I think for the first two periods, well, look, let me stop and go to the best news from last night. Let me give you some things that I really liked. My favorite part of the whole game, and I think the best thing to take away if you're a Bruins fan, is how they handled that third period. They calmed the game down. They controlled that third period. It was at a much calmer tempo. You didn't feel like you were constantly under siege. Those first two periods, you were constantly under siege.
Anarchy.
It was.
And that's why it's credit to Rask.
And Rask saved your ass. But it was really those first two periods. The first two periods, it was like, you're not going to survive this. And then in the third, even before you scored, you control play. I think you outshot them like 21-13, and not that that's always an indicator.
No,
but
they had 21 shots in the third period.
I think in this case it was. And it's like, okay, finally, game on the line, toe-to-toe, and you slowed the game down and got it on their end versus your end. And okay, like that made me feel good. That makes me feel better than Rask even, because as great as Rask was, that can't sustain itself either, right? I mean, if you're just getting pelted and your goalie's going to, he can't win you every game. He won you last night. So the fact that they slowed it down the third, I thought was the absolute best thing. Rask was the second best thing, though.
Oh, he was dynamite.
He was dynamite. He was great. And it's good that you finish your chances. You know, maybe Bergeron was squeezing it a little bit. Hopefully that's not anymore. You know, now you got to address Marchand. I think he's the next to come around. Pastrnak, I don't know. you know. But other than that, the first two periods, I thought they got it handed to them. And if that's the way it's going to be, you're not going to survive this series. It's got to be more like that third period.
See, I don't agree with the caller, though, that it was, you know, one of, I don't know how he phrased it, one of the worst wins or completely unenjoyable. Like, to me, the fact that they had to grind it the way they did and then ultimately stabilized, that's a big boy win. I mean, that Columbus team is, you know, they had a little bit of an air of invincibility going there. They're 6-1 in the playoffs. The only game they lost was in overtime. They're just buzzing all over the place. Like, they, and I feel like a little, and Bobrovsky's been on his, you know, out of his mind. And I feel like by the end of it, they'd taken a little of that away. And that's a big boy win.
Evan in Medfield on sort of this thing. Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, so do you think that perhaps Watt Tortorella sort of gave the team advice to go aggressive because the Bruins were so bad on the power play that they were willing to take the risk,
yes,
and willing to take the penalty because they had all these odd man rushes and
No. I thought you were saying something else. I think that Columbus knows how vulnerable you are on the blue line on the power play because you've got little Torrey Krug.
They're willing to take the risk.
Yeah, okay, so look, I heard Tortorella after the game get on his team for too many penalties. Tortorella, unless he's faking that, unless he's making that up, is frustrated as all hell at his team for taking so many penalties. At least that's what he said after the game. So I don't think they're intentionally taking penalties. No. But their penalty kill, I think those guys are cheating out towards the blue line and being aggressive on any loose puck on top of the circles because they know it's either Krug, Marchmont, or Pasternak, or Krejci, or some, you know, either a little D or a forward out there that if you get going the other way, you're going to have a 2-on-1 against someone who has no idea what he's doing. And the Bruins are getting exposed on that over and over and over again. They did a lot in the regular season. They gave up among the most shorthanded goals.
I think it was 14 in the regular season.
Okay, I think that was either one or two in the league. It continued against the Toronto series. Remember, you went down in game one for that very thing, and it's all the same thing. It's forwards out at the blue line, handling the puck and mishandling the puck, and now you've got a rush going the other way, and you don't have a good defenseman back. You've got a forward or little Torrey Krug. And this is another thing that's frustrating me about Cassidy. It's taken him too long to adjust. Finally, at the end of the third, when he was preserving a two-goal lead, he had two defensemen out there. But he's got to rework that whole first power play. 2D.
I'll tell you what, I want McAvoy out there.
Yes.
And you know what? He's a good guy to put out there as the fifth guy, the second defenseman, in place of a forward because he can play the defensive end. You know, Krug is what he is. He's an offensive player. It's really like having five forwards out there.
And they're just exposed. It's just too much.
So I like the idea of if you're going to have Krug out there, have McAvoy with him.
Howard and Randolph. Go ahead, Howard.
I sorry to change that. I did have a comment on the Red Sox. Did you guys watch the one on the ninth last night?
I didn't see it live, but I saw it this morning.
Okay, because Devers, I mean, I don't know what his problem is on a routine play. I mean, that would have been two outs, nobody on. Instead, it's one out, one on. And then Brazier, I really can't blame him. The guy got a base hit, and then the other guy hit a home run after Moreland just missed the foul.
How can you blame him?
Yeah, Howard, why can't you blame Brazier?
I thought he was pitching well. I mean, you pitch differently when the guy's on base as opposed to when there's nobody on.
So he's got to have clean innings. He can't get anybody out with a man on base. See, this is what drives me crazy.
Oh my God. So now I see what you're saying.
This is what drives me crazy.
He hung a slider? He hung something right over the middle of the plate.
So he's given up two game-winning home runs now this year. One was to Brett Gardner in New York in the Grand Slam, and one was to this, was it Delmonico? Is that his name?
I don't know who it
was. Last night in Chicago. So look at the track record now with Brazier. Left-handers this year have an OPS of like 900 against them or something. This is the issue. They don't have a closer. So when we said who's going to do it, I told you I'd go with Brazier. I think he's got balls. What he doesn't have is something that he can use to get lefties out that runs away from left-handed batters. Everything he does runs in on a lefty, so what's going to happen if he misses? That's what's going to happen.
Maz, are they worse off with maybe playing Chavis there defensively?
Not necessarily, no. But the problem is then, you know, Devers is hit. Right.
So have him be the DH and put JD Martinez in right field. I know he's not the greatest.
So then you're sitting Willie Mays out there in center.
Right. So then, but often, you know, at this stage, honestly, if Jackie Bradley never sees the field again, I'm not going to complain.
Do you think they agree with that?
No. They'll keep playing him. But defensively, he's been one of the worst center fielders in the American League this year.
Defensively.
Wow. We looked it up last night. We did this little exercise on the Baseball Reporters. Jackie Brad, the Red Sox, center field defense, American League, 14th out of 15 teams.
Wow. That's a surprising number.
Well, that's the kind of information you get on the Baseball Reporters.
when they're first, you don't hear about it so much. 14th, we'll talk about it. Gender Free Friday continues with Dan in Mansfield. Your thoughts on the Bruins last night?
Hey, boys. I want to know how the refs don't put their hand up and stop the play dead when that thing goes up in the air. I mean, the puck goes in the crease and they lose sight of it for an eighth of a second. And they either blow it dead or they have the intent to blow it dead. And they review it and go, well, we intended on blowing it dead, so it's over.
And no, this is a good point. This is another thing. If the puck's lost in a goal mouth scramble, they'll blow it sooner than later. The Bruins almost got porked on that in Game 3.
Right.
That ref was really wanted to wave that thing off, even though there was no reason because he lost sight of the puck. Well, they lost sight of the puck, and half the players started skating off the ice. Oh, my Lord.
I mean, they all stopped. There wasn't one guy that kept going. They all stopped. Because they're just conditioned that way to a deflection that goes up that high. They know it's out of play. So they stop, and then it popped in. And who made the pass? I don't even remember, to Panarin. But he had the presence of mind to sort of – it's almost like a when the whistle doesn't blow in football and there's a fumble.
Go back and watch it. I think he might have shot, and it might have deflected off of a Bruin in front.
Oh, is that
right? It looked like a pass, but I meant to go back and look at it again. Look at it again. It might have been – I think he tried to backhand it towards the net, and it deflected off of Bruin to Panarin.
But, you know, in football, they tell you if the ball's on the ground, you don't hear the whistle. Play it like
exactly,
it's live.
Right.
So whoever, you know, I don't remember who it was, at least did that. He was the only guy that reacted to the puck.
We continue with your thoughts, Bruins and otherwise, on an Agenda-Free Friday right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Yo, listen, he's a proud guy. You're talking again about, what is he, 22, 23? It's a young guy that's still going through some of that maturity process and learning how to compete this time of year. He's got good players around him to help him through it. He's got the trust of his coaching staff. So we're going to allow him to play through it. He's a great kid if you know him at all. He cares a lot. He's matured over the years, but he's still a young guy learning what it takes. And we're here to help him with that. And as long as he keeps working hard, he's going to get every opportunity to get out there. We may limit certain situations because we're trying to win. But at the end of the day, we got a lot of faith in David. And hopefully it just keeps getting better for him.
Okay, that's Cassidy on Pastrnak. And before I get started here, if I go to break here without playing the Fuppets, take me out back and beat me about the face with a moist sausage, okay? Please remind me. I'm going to forget. Fuppets, by the end of this segment, you will see it. You will hear it. Don't let me forget.
Can we use a hot dog?
Yes. Use a big smoking kielbasa. I don't care. Just crack me across the face if I forget.
Sausage casing.
God, so annoying. I can never remember. Cassie on Pastrnak. All of what he said, fine. You know, young guy, learning how to compete. Maybe he's learning how to play hurt. Maybe that's part of what he means. I think his compete level sucks, frankly. I don't think he fights back at all. I do give him some credit for taking that hellacious shot from Glenn Denning on the first shift and then, or maybe a second, but whatever, the shift he scored on. He took that just massive body blow in the middle of the ice and stayed in there, hung in there, and scored a goal. Okay, that showed me a little something.
It was a good sequence.
Okay,
yeah.
So good for you. But yes, he's learning to compete. Yes, he's only 22. Yes, he's a good kid. Yes, he cares. Yes, he's got a lot of pride or whatever Cassidy said. Fine. I'm not arguing that. He's a giveaway waiting to happen. Do you know how many odd man rushes he alone created in that game with just stupid, irresponsible, borderline high on drugs kind of plays?
I mean, it looks like a constant fire drill. It's a nightmare.
So now you're 2-1 in the third period of game 4 of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. At that point, your responsibility is to the team, not the player. And he should have been stapled to the bench in the third period. I will say, I think Cassie did a poor job with that last night. Pastrnak's minutes were down a little bit overall. He was at 15 minutes. 15:52, which, you know, Marchand played 18:40, and Bergeron played almost 22. So Pastrnak lost some time, primarily because finally.
On the power play, they took him off.
On Pastrnak's fourth or fifth giveaway that created an odd man rush the other way, and I'm not exaggerating, it was four or five.
I mean, I think they had, I heard this during the game, I think they had six scoring chances shorthanded last night.
Okay, and this is all because of that four-forward thing and Pastrnak. And on the fourth or fifth one, it was right in front of the Bruins bench, and it was on Pastrnak's backhand. And Pastrnak went back there and stopped it with his backhand and then kept skating and just left it for whoever, probably Jenner. He was the one that was constantly coming down on you. But whoever, and he didn't stop. He didn't compete. He had no awareness or conscious that he's the last line of defense. And, of course, it goes the other way, and, of course, Rask made the save. I mean, that was the story of the game. And finally, Cassidy yelled at him on the bench. They showed it on the NBC broadcast. Cassidy finally laid into him. But then after the game, he sort of soft-pedals it. Then after the game, Cassidy doesn't really, you know, he's like sort of protecting the guy, which, I don't know, give me Cassidy 4, I think it is, Jimmy.
Well, I hope it's better tonight. He scored a big goal for us. You know, the late game, you don't know if it's going to be a nothing goal or not, but it certainly put the game on ice, I think, when you make it four. Hopefully he's feeling better about his game. Those guys responded well, had a good game.
Okay, so that was my fault. That was a question about Pastrnak's confidence. And Cassie says, I hope it's better. I'm sitting him finally after leaving that little backhand thing there at the blue line right in front of the Bruins bench. Cassie finally, mercifully, yanked him off the power play. He talked about that here on 5.
We made the switch on the power play. I thought Kretsch had played on there when you know that, right? Pasta was out for 5 weeks, and our power play didn't take a hit. He's good over there, more of a passer than shooter, and right now we weren't getting that many shots from the elbow. So Kretsch is good at chucking it into the bumper there to Berge or maybe some tips, so we went that route. Did it make a difference? I don't know, but Pasta went back out on the other group. We're not going to bury him. He's always going to be on the power play. If he stops working and doing some other things, then we'll look at that, but right now I don't see that. I wish he was harder on the puck in front of our bench in the second period. The only thing I said to him, you know, if you're going to keep it in, we've got four forwards out there, you got to be committed to keep it in and, you know, dig in and take a hit or whatever you have to do there. That was the only dissatisfaction I had with him. He muffed some plays. He's, you know, there might be a comfort level there. I don't know what's going on there. It's not like him. I think he'll play his way out of that, but he does have to compete hard on those pucks, and that was the message to him and my only criticism of him.
Okay, playing your way out of it, it's fine. Play him in the first period. Play him if you're down a goal and you need a goal. You can't play him when he's doing that and you're preserving a one goal lead in the third period in the playoffs. You can't play him. They absolutely should have been stapled to the bench. And so I'll just keep saying that all day. I think Cassie mismanaged that. And I also don't think
feels like they're heading that way though.
Well, they better be.
Like again, now maybe he'll go right back to having him out there with the first unit at the beginning of the next game, but I don't know. I wonder. With the number of chances they gave up, I'll tell you, and the other thing is I want McAvoy out there. Like I think McAvoy's playing well right now. I don't think you're losing much on your power play by putting him out there.
That's the same pass to Pastrnak for the first goal was a beauty.
I mean, so you know what he's seeing, and the Bruins are going to need a defenseman to step up in this series because Seth Jones prior to last night had been dominating the series. So you know what, if McAvoy can step up and be some sort of equivalent, that can make all the difference in the world.
But you know he's going on. He put Krejci out there because we needed a shot versus a pass. He played there when Pastrnak was hurt before, and I don't think that's it. They had to get someone else out there because Pastrnak was killing them with those giveaways, killing them. And Krejci's going to be a little more responsible, a little bit more. I mean, Krejci's, you know, again, he ain't Larry Robinson out there, but he's not just going to leave the puck at the blue line and skate away for Columbus to go down the ice on an odd man rush. Krejci's got more responsibility than that.
But the combination of Krejci and another defenseman is a huge difference.
Than right. Pastrnak and another defenseman.
Right,
it is.
Right.
It's sturdier, if you can believe it. I mean, Pastrnak is so unsturdy, and he's so just mental right now that Krejci is a defensive upgrade over him.
Mike, those, and I know we're talking about the battling for puck on the blue lines, keeping it in the zone and not allowing the rushes the other way. Those plays where the puck just slides off his stick and he thinks it's still there? How do you explain that? I mean, how does a guy not know that the puck is not on his stick anymore? You don't feel the weight of that? Like, you don't even notice that it's gone?
Nope, that's
twice.
So what is that?
I don't. I mean, so he's numbed up.
Who knows? Numbed up, and yeah, you can't tell whether it's on your stick or not? I mean, so maybe. He's,
I mean, that's what I would guess. He's in la la land.
So hurt, medicated, lack of compete. It's a bad combination.
It really is. Yeah, it's like an injured drug addict. Like, you know, that's a hyperbole. I don't mean that literally.
So,
but if he's up on, shut up on meds, he's going to be high as a kite.
I mean, this to me is just unconscionable. He took 9 shifts in the first, 7 in the second, 8 in the third. And there's really no discernible difference there. Even strength time on ice. He got 253 in the first, 353 in the second, 446 in the third. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. You can't do that. That's when you take the skilled guy off who's killing you to preserve that lead. So that's my Pastrnak take. I'm stunned by the number of people who said he was a plus last night. Like, that he was value add. Because he scored that goal. He got the assist on the second Bergeron goal, which he didn't really do much there. He threw it into Bobrovsky's pads. I mean, but he got the helper there. It was garbage time. That was a nothing goal. The game was over.
Well, the first goal mattered, though.
The first goal mattered.
First goal mattered.
And he got good wood on that, and that was a good – that was he wired that for sure. He also – remember the – thank you, Jimmy. Remember the Bergeron break-in where Bergeron tried his deke, his backhand forehand. And, you know, he went flying ass over tea kettle. Pastrnak sent him in with a really nice little saucer pass. So I don't want to say that Pastrnak did nothing. And I'll say again, he deserves huge credit for taking that Glendening hit and staying in there and then scoring that goal and getting good wood on his first goal. So it wasn't a zero. But was he a value add last night? Was he a plus?
No, I would say at best he was a neutral, and he's really negative in a lot of ways.
Oh, I thought he killed you. I thought he killed you. I thought he almost single-handedly kept Columbus in that game.
You know, the play you're talking about where he fed Bergeron and Bergeron didn't score in that little breakaway? I think the best pass in that play was Rask.
Yeah, that was a good play by him.
What a play!
That was a good play by him.
And when do you ever see him handle the puck like that and fire it two-thirds of the way up the ice? That was a great play.
Okay, we are going to get to your phones after the wonderful award-winning Fuppets by Hardy. And if I would have forgotten if Jimmy just hadn't whispered in my ear. Thank you. You saved me a sausage beating. I don't know what this is other than apparently it's just entitled Bitchiness?
General Bitchiness.
General Bitchiness. Which happens from time to time on Felger and Maz. If you're listening on the radio, you'll hear it. It's audio. If you're listening or watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see it in all its glory. We'll post it on all of our socials so you can catch up online. But here are Hardy's wonderful Fuppets.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm mediocre. What do you got?
What do you think of Bruins chances tomorrow night?
I don't love them.
Oh, really?
Chris in Hartford. Go ahead, Chris.
You guys don't talk about Rafael Devers playing Gold Glove third base. Then he gets big hits in big spots. Why aren't you guys talking about that? Don't you guys get paid for that?
He's been a butcher for most of the year. Like what, so he made a couple of good plays over the weekend? And like, what's this jackass's problem?
It's cranky. The weather. It's the weather and the rain. It made me mental trying to come in here, so that's why I got a hair across my eyes.
Cranky. Well, you Bostonians can't handle a little rain. You babies, all you people need to learn how to drive. It's just water. The car goes right through
it. Overall, I was in a relatively optimistic, good mood. A guy like that makes me want to start ripping Devers.
I don't feel good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tuca was outstanding. I thought he really fought hard to compete on second chances tonight, especially their power play there. I think it was in the third period. It was a lot of second chances, and they've scored some goals like that. We got to do a better job in front of them, obviously, with the clears, but I thought he really competed hard to find pucks in there. Made some good saves on some odd man rushes on the angles, and then obviously the penalty shot. It's a big turning point in the game. And I was a little surprised it was called, but once they didn't score, then you're happy to still be on the power play, even though it hasn't been great. We got a goal, and so worked out well for us, that sequence of events.
Bruce Cassidy on the story of the game, Tuukka Rask. And then that sequence, absolutely right. Bruins up 1-0. They go on the power play. Once again, they get exposed at the blue line because they've got Marchmont and Krug out there and little guys trying to hold the point. They lose the point. Jenner goes down on a partial break. Marchand takes him out. Penalty shot. Rask makes the save. And then the Bruins score on that power play. And so instead of it being 1-1, them scoring a shorty or a penalty shot goal, it's 2-0 Bruins. And that was really a huge sequence.
Well, and even the call of the penalty shot ended up being a blessing.
Well, do you know that they could have declined it?
Oh, they could have.
They could have declined it and took a two-minute penalty. That's what Monty said to me last night. I meant to double-check it. I'll take his word for it.
Okay, so, like, I did not know that. But the fact that it was a penalty shot and not a penalty meant that the Bruins stayed on the power play.
Right, and if it's a fourth-liner, which Jenner is, and Jenner scored in the league. He's not some total hack, but he's a fourth-liner. It's like, you know, if Nola Chari got dragged down for a penalty shot, wouldn't you just take the 2 minutes in that case?
So, good question. I don't know.
Especially if it wipes out their power play?
I don't know. I don't know what the percentages on a power play are typically what? I mean, 25%.
20. Well, yeah, 20 is good.
So that's good, right? And in a shootout,
it's 30.
Right. So, you know, you probably take the penalty shot.
But what if it's some hack?
Well, so that's a good
point.
What
if it's Nola Chari? What's his?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you had TJ Oshie, you'd take the penalty
right, exactly.
Shot, right? So, like, I don't know. That's a good question. But, on some level, the Bruins lucked out there just by the call because I didn't think it was that clear that it was a penalty shot.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
So, but the fact that they did it, Tuukka then makes the stop, and you're still on the power play, and you score. I mean, to me, that was the game. That was the biggest swing in the game. No two ways about it.
All right, we continue with your thoughts on everything. Kevin in Rhode Island on the Bees last night. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Just thinking about what you guys were just saying, and I was doing some research on penalty shots in playoffs. And I found from 37 to 2007, couldn't find any later than that, there have only been 46 penalty shot calls
in playoffs.
Well, the Bruins have seen two penalty shots in this year's playoffs.
Do you think they're being
unfairly
targeted?
It just seems like a high percentage.
They're not being unfairly targeted.
Yeah, they're playing stupid.
Well, the one in the Toronto series was indisputable.
Oh, my God. Yeah. DeBrusque from behind. That wasn't even close.
No, that was clear cut.
Okay, last night was 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, to me, so I'm surprised that they called one there because if it were me officiating a postseason game and one team had the chance to go up 3-1 and it was gray, I would call the penalty and not the penalty shot. I mean, if it were me, I'd want the game settled on the ice, not by a penalty shot. But whatever, it ended up working in the Bruins' advantage.
Anthony Medford, give me a quick Red Sox take here on Agenda Free Friday.
Two things to the Red Sox to get out of this hole. Aaron Brazier, I ain't a fan of Brazier. I'm sorry. I know he only gave up two home runs, but last night he threw that slide, didn't even slide right down the middle, dang home run. Like Matt said, he's got the attitude, he's fearless, but he hasn't got the stuff. And at the bottom of the order, they have two automatic outs from Leon Betts and Bradley. Because God rest his soul, Ted Williams, if they put his parts on Jackie Bradley, Jim Bradley still wouldn't hit. He's hitting .145 after last night, another offer. He's hard. And he isn't playing good defense, Mike. They got to get him out of there. Thanks.
Okay, Anthony, thanks for the call.
See, Anthony's exaggerating. It's not 145. It's 148. Seriously, what do you, again, you got to bury the guy like that?
They got to sit his ass down.
I mean, again, and why don't you focus on the 375, which is his OPS?
Oh, my God, that's his OPS?
375. J.D. Martinez is hitting 352. Jackie Bradley's OPS.
Oh, my God.
Is 375. OPS.
How many extra base hits does he have this year?
No idea. But again, OPS is on base.
Right, slugging.
Plus, no, I know, I'm just spelling it out to amplify how bad a number it is.
Well, that's why slugging, large extra base hits is a big one for slide. So I'm curious. He must have no extra base hits.
He's slugging 185.
Well, that's impossible.
He's slugging 185. Well, no, but the good news is that he's catching everything that's hit out there, like that play in Oakland at the beginning of the year that – oh, no, that's right. That ball fell in and cost him the game. Oh, but then there was the one at Fenway the other day after the error by Devers that – oh, no, that's right. He missed that ball in center field, too. it was a triple. He didn't get called for an error on that play.
But, Maz, at least he's got a better launch angle this year.
Yeah, no. There's a much better swing. I mean, because now when I look at him and I say, wow, he sucks, but his swing looks good.
Yeah, no, well, he sucks upward now. There's a nice upward trajectory of his swing and misses.
Wow.
Where before it used to be on the plane of a swing and miss.
He's got three extra base hits all the
time. Three! Thank you. That's my question. Jeff in Medford from Murray on an Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, so I don't know if you guys heard about this D'Angelo Russell thing with him getting caught with weed in LaGuardia. The biggest part about that whole thing is he was trying to sneak it through in an Arizona iced tea canister, something that looked like an Arizona iced tea. You can't bring drinks through TSA.
That's a great point, Jeff.
That's a good point.
That is so good. Right? They're not looking for drugs. They're looking for the iced tea.
Right. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, my gosh. It's so true. Seriously. And isn't he the second guy that got popped?
Yep. No, it was this guy. It was our guy. It was Harmon.
Teron Harmon. Teron Harmon.
Same thing.
Yeah. It must be the smuggling device of drugs.
No, you must be high when you decide to do it. It's like you're so baked you don't even think that.
Well, yeah, they sell, or at least maybe use a shaving cream one. Like, they have ones that look like they're empty shaving cream cans, like a thing of Barbasol. You open it up and you put your stash in there, and then you put it in your bag. An Arizona iced tea thing, it looks what you think it is. It's like a can of tea. Of course they're going to take a look at it.
They let you bring beverages on that you can't go through security.
That's right, no liquids. What he should have done is, hell, if you're going to do that, it might as well be a Coors Light.
Like, yeah, right. You
know? What's your preferred method, Murray?
You just get to the city that you're going to, and then you find it. Or just have a connect. Like, don't waste your time doing that. Or just bring the vape pen.
That's the way Murray does it.
Unfortunately, I'm familiar with it. It's called Super Tuesday. our long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I think our guys will be ready. We're a resilient group. I don't want to say it's do or die because it's not. But clearly you don't want to go down 2. It goes our way. It's the best 2 out of 3. We have home ice advantage. That's a good spot to be in.
McAvoy along the near side. Fired. They score! David Pastrnak!
Krug holds it in now. Stolen away. And it's Boone Jenner shorthanded. Marchand is up to the ice with him and takes him off the puck and commits a penalty in the process. Penalty shot, Bob. Angles hard to the right wing circle. Now slows down. Shoots and missed the net. Bergeron shoots. He scores! Patrice Bergeron! Jones sends it toward the net and tipped off a stick, and it went high, and it winds up over the glass and out of play. Nobody knows where it is. Got to hit the netting, and here's a shot to score, but I think that's going to come off the board, and they're going to let it count. And I will gladly have the worst goal call of my career and have it count. I'm good with that.
Far circle, high slot, Jones, Rister, Rask fought it off. Rebound far side, Rask able to make the stop on Panarin and covers.
Well, Rask has been outstanding this period.
Sent up top, here's Chara, tees it up, looking for a bank out in front. It comes, fired, they score! The Ohio kid, Sean Corrali. Near circle, Pastrnak, one-timer, out in front, they score! Pasternak's one-timer, knocked down by Bergeron, by Bergeron. Bergeron with a power play goal, and the Bruins with a 4-1 lead, and they're heading for the exits here at Nationwide.
Jimmy Stewart's look back at game 4 there. Cassidy in that opening cut said they were a resilient group. You do have to give them credit for that, Maz, right?
No question. Again, last night is, I mean, if you add it on, and I know this is stretching stats a little, okay, but there have now been 5 occasions this postseason where the Bruins have either faced elimination, Game 7 against Toronto, or
Game 6 and 7.
Okay, right, 6 and 7, right, or faced a 2-game series deficit. They're 5-0. They have won every one of the games that they have absolutely needed to win.
Down 2-1 to Toronto in Toronto, they win Game 4. Got to win Game 6 in Toronto, or they're done, they win Game 6. Got to win last night, they win. Got to win Game 7, they win.
I mean, really, like, that shows you something. Like, that, and you know what? I know I'm contradicting myself here, so shoot me. Okay, this is totally hypocritical. I do wonder if experience helps with that. That, I wonder if experience helps with.
Well, they were resilient all year, though, considering all the injuries and everything that they dealt with and sustained and got to where they were. So,
yep,
that's what they've been.
Yeah, they deserve that. They deserve that credit. They hang in there.
So, look. I don't think falling behind 2-1 and 3-2 in every series is the way to go.
It's
no.
Not.
Right?
It's not.
I mean, they're proving their resilience, but if you keep doing that, ultimately a bounce is going to go against you and you're not. So they got to sort of get on top of these teams, and their chance to do it is tomorrow night. Let's see them get on top of Columbus and play from ahead and not just, you know, have to be resilient. But even inside of that game last night, there was resilience.
Absolutely.
Even from someone like David Pastrnak, who is all sorts of messed up right now. That first shift, when he takes that shot from Glenn Denning and hangs in there and then scores, that was resilient. And Maz made a great point. After that just ridiculous goal off the netting, they could have folded, and it's just the opposite. They never allowed another goal. Rask could have folded. Team could have folded. And they didn't. And so I think they have that quality.
I mean, there's good mental toughness there. I mean, that is the ability to say, nope, just keep going. And they did that.
Okay, Gasper standing by. We'll zip through some calls here before we get to the top of the hour. Mark in Medford, go.
Hey, Mike, I feel what's not being talked about enough today after last night is I believe that the so-called Great Wall of Bobrovsky has sprung a significant leak last night. And I think this is the start of it going down his leg and forming a great huge puddle in the next game.
Okay. Well, you better hope. That would be nice. I'm not banking on it. Was he that bad last night?
No, but he wasn't superhuman.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I would put it.
Yeah.
Like, and
no, the Russians cut, though. I mean, it's not like it's...
The Russians cut.
It's not
you
like
see,
it's an impenetrable
wall.
But still, his last save, big save of the night, the one that he stopped on Backes that he dove for, that's the one it's like, Jesus, this guy, holy crap.
I also thought he had a great save on Krejci. Krejci had almost one of the great skilled plays I've seen in a while. Late in the game, garbage time again. But there was a bouncing puck towards Krejci, and he's on the left side of the net. And all he could really do with it was sort of slam it into the ice and sort of, like, try a bounce shot. Did you see this?
Yes, I did see this.
And Bobrovsky got over there and saved it. It was an incredible save. But I thought Krejci's level of skill on that was through the roof. He knew bouncing. He really couldn't. His best play was to, you know,
almost get English on the puck somehow.
Or just slam it into the...
almost chop it.
Like a
bounce
shot.
Like a knockdown,
shot. Like
yeah.
a bounce shot. It was brilliant. I don't know. Let's see on Bobrovsky. Hopefully he sprung a leak. I don't know. I'm not willing to predict that quite yet.
I mean, that first Bergeron goal earlier in the series, he saves that. And so that to me is, again, you know, Bergeron's in a high slot. And on that play, I thought DeBrusque made that play. Because DeBrusque drove to the net, the defense collapsed, and then Bergeron was left in the high slot because he was trailing behind him. So all of a sudden he had a lane and he had space. And to me it was because DeBrusque went to the net.
Mike in the truck, what do you got for us?
Yeah, a couple things real quick. I'm glad that Columbus goal didn't factor in the outcome of the game. I really think the league needs to take a look at that rule and change it sooner rather than later. And I'm hoping that the Bruins can pull it off this year because I think the veterans deserve another one. And I'd really like to see Tuukka have his David Price moment. How would that sound, Murray?
Well, you need me now. I've never been playing better in between the pipes, bitches.
I would just say the league will change the rule in the offseason. I mean, they.
Oh, no question they will.
It's too easy of a change.
Yeah, no question. Hell, they might change it between series.
Right. Honestly, they should. Just square it off with your offsides rule. That, you know, whenever that happened, you can review it and go back and clean it up.
I prefer that. They can't let something like this happen again.
Okay, so I think they will. Getting this group another cup, I mentioned this yesterday, they have a chance to sort of stamp it. You know, the one cup is nice, but if Bergeron, Chara get a second, you know, you're talking about all-time Bruins, even more so than they are now, and sort of a whole nother level. And Krejci, for that matter, and Marchand in that group. Rask's David Price moment. Comparable. It's pretty comparable. I would say, again, this is what I said off the top, Maz. Pretty crafty by me. So for all the Tuukka people, right? Like, see Tuukka. So what you're saying is that he's reached another level, right? I mean, that's what they're saying. He's reached another level. So you're acknowledging he wasn't playing at this level before in previous playoffs.
So he had the capacity to go there.
He had the, well, you know, and I've never denied he didn't have the capacity. I never said he wasn't talented enough. My only point was that he didn't get there. Isn't this an acknowledgement that he hadn't gotten there?
So the only part of that I would disagree with is I think he has gotten there before. He just hasn't sustained it. So, again, we were talking about that Pittsburgh series in 2013.
That's fair. That's right.
He, in 136 shots on net, he gave up 2 goals.
So, he still hasn't done it. You're halfway through round two, man.
Right. He's not even halfway to the cup yet. So, and again, we, you know, we, I think we talked about this off the air when it came up at that time. That year, up until the final 3 games of the Chicago series, he had a good postseason. He did. And then
he sucked against Toronto. He sucked in that first round.
In the first round?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I remember it.
Okay.
He wasn't good.
So I'll go back and check. But the bottom line is, in the final 3 games against Chicago, and they were up 2-1. Right? There were 2 wins from a cup.
Yep.
His save percentage was under 900. Now, I'm fudging numbers there a little because it was 899 or something like that. But even so, 900 sucks. Like, that's not good enough. And so the final 3 games, he couldn't quite close it out. You know, but so I think we've seen him play like he's played last night. The question is, can he sustain it?
Right. Fair enough. Okay, we continue with your Bruins thoughts, and we'll get to the Celtics as well. It's an agenda-free Friday, so everything's on the table. We are here at the Garden at our Star Market broadcast studios in advance of Celtics-Bucks Game 3. It's here tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's like an 8:30 start, right?
It's late, yeah.
Stupid. The
free is it 8 or 8:30?
It might be 8:30.
It's 8.
Okay, good.
Even that's
even still.
Even that is gross.
Yeah, but that sucks. It doesn't suck and blow. It just sucks.
Okay. 8 o'clock start here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Gasper's standing by for a surprising take. I was surprised to read his email and how he feels about the C's heading into this game. You'll hear that right after Murray's 90-second update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.